Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is one of our great favorites, Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, a Republican who represents New York's 131st District, including all of Ontario and parts of Seneca County. Okay, so I know that people are talking to you all the time, Brian Kolb, and say that you're considering a run for New York State Governor next year. First of all, could you win a primary? And could you beat Governor Cuomo? He's got, what, $27 million in the bank that we know about for his run. Do you have $27 million in your bank account?
Well, not yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah. Well, I get it. Okay, so you've been against the Cuomo legacy because of his handling of the state economy. He's been a leading voice for higher state ethics rules. So Cuomo says he'll do a third term. Let's assume you get the nomination. What would you do?
Well, first and foremost, what I'm doing now is seeing if there's sufficient political support for a candidacy.
How do you do that? Do you go around and talk to the leaders of the county leaders?
Yes. And things? You talk to county chairs and also state committee people in every single county.
Right.
And just to say, here's who I am. A lot of people know who I am and my record,
sure.
But certainly for those that I maybe have not met personally, and you really just have conversations. They can ask me questions. What would I do? How would I say things or do things? And then ultimately, when you go to the convention, which is probably in May, the state committee people actually have to take a vote and say, this is who we want to be our candidate.
Now, there's a conservative party in New York, too, right?
Correct.
And really, it would not do to have one guy running on the, although it's been done, conservative ballot and another on the Republican ticket. So do you have to court the other party, too?
Well, of course you have to have conversations with Chairman Mike Long. But Chairman Long and the state conservative party, I'm a known entity with them, my voting record, what I've stood for. How our conference is advocated for in terms of financial issues and business issues. And so I'm a known entity, but still ultimately I'm guessing that the Conservative Party would want to rally around the final choice of the Republican Party going forward, assuming that that particular candidate is in alignment with their goals and policy positions.
So you got no money, really. What's your chance of beating Andrew Cuomo?
Well, first and foremost, one of the things, as I said in parallel paths, working on the committee front, county chair front politically, and then also continuing to talk to people across the state. But on the financial front, what you end up doing is trying to go out and see if there's ample and sufficient prospective financial support for my candidacy. And I'm very candid about this because you can't run a credible campaign without a credible financial support.
Well, some people say that Andrew Cuomo is a Republican. Democrat with, you know, Republican credentials sort of been playing to them, kept the Republicans in power in the New York State Senate for a long time. So how do you deal with a guy who's sort of got one foot in on your side of the line?
Well, I don't think he has one foot on our side of the line. I think he tried that in his first term and then abandoned that as time went on. And I've talked about this already. When you really get out and talk to the average Joe and Jane throughout our state and all the different areas of our state,
yeah,
and get out into the communities and not just power bounce from Buffalo to Rochester to Syracuse to Albany to New York City or Hollywood, depending upon where he's doing his fundraising, you get to talk to real people. And from my perspective, I relate to real people, people that go to work every day. They're worried about what it's going to cost to put food on their table, cost of gasoline, cost of college education, cost of their energy. Can they have a good paying job in our state regardless where they live? We have regional differences, which is fine. But from my perspective, I consider myself a listener and then a problem solver.
Okay. I get that. And those are the right things to say. And I know that you believe them. However, there is this place, this about 8-9 million people called New York City.
Yep.
And there'll be people listening to this right now. Nah, he can't win. Who knows him in New York City in the five boroughs? We have all of those Democrats. What are you going to do about that?
Well, if we are in a real campaign, You go to their turf. And quite frankly, I'm not going to make any, and I don't think any Republican candidate is going to fool themselves and say you're going to win New York City. But what you have to do is make inroads to hopefully get a vote total in the what I'll call the mid-30s range.
Okay, I'll give you Staten Island.
Well, we still got to get to mid-30s for all the other boroughs.
Yeah.
And that's been done before. Now, it
yes,
was a while
has.
Ago. It was George Pataki that did it.
Who he?
Pardon me?
He was what we called a who-he.
Oh, W-H-O,
well, I made it up. W-H-O hyphen he question mark. You know, and he beat Cuomo.
And Mario Cuomo is going in for that third term.
Fourth term.
So in my view, you got to be fearless. Anything's possible. If you're going to be deterred by what could happen or whether this could happen, then you shouldn't even consider it. I have total full confidence in my abilities. I believe I'd be a great governor because my agenda is going to be the people of the state of New York's agenda, not running for president, not trying to appease major donors. I'm out to make sure that the taxpayers, the families, the businesses in New York survive, not only survive, but prosper. And that is my priority.
So let me give you what I call a two buckets question. The reason I call it two buckets is there used to be a governor of New Jersey, Governor Hughes, who they called Old Two Buckets because he was always walking around approaching old questions as if he had a bucket on each shoulder and trying to balance them out. So let me talk about the guy on the table who is the elephant on the table is Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there are many Republicans, all the polls show it, who really like this guy. They like him. You're going to run on a Republican ticket.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing the reporters are going to be shouting at you is, what about Trump? Are you like Trump?
Well, to be candid, I've already received some of those questions. And my comment to you is that I'm Brian Kolb. I have a voting record. If you got a specific question, ask me about what I would do or not do for the state of New York. That's a fair question.
Okay, let me give you one. DACA. You have thousands and thousands of young people who are under that program, who are protected from being deported. Somebody's going to come up to you and say, what do you think about the president's decision to throw out, young people who have been here all of their lives? What would you say?
Well, I'm going to give you a two-part answer. First of all, the people that have been here all their lives.
Yep.
And if they're have become a citizen in the United States of America, they're not going anywhere.
No, no, but they haven't become a citizen in the United States.
Are they working towards it? Are they employed? Yeah. Are they paying taxes? Certainly, you can't take away something that's already been given. And my point of view is what the actual decision is going to be from Trump, we don't know yet. What's he really going to say or what's Jeff Sessions going to say? And then we'll respond to it. It's just like when we went through this whole, all this concern and nail grinding.
But there are Republicans right now in the United States Congress and the House of Representatives, the Senate, who are criticizing the president for that. Are you prepared to do that too?
I'll criticize the president of the United States just like I'm prepared to criticize the governor of New York when I disagree with him on public policy.
Well, yes, but I'm giving you a specific.
Is this
a public policy where you disagree with him?
I will disagree with him once I know exactly what that policy is and then the specifics of it. In general, people are saying, well, he could do this. Well, I want to see what he's going to do. What I was trying to finish to say
before
to
I give, interrupted.
Yes, that's okay. We're used to it. But the health care reform, it could happen. This, that. And it could be catastrophic for New York. And I kept saying, hold on. Congress has shown a pretty good pattern of not getting things done. And until they get it done, whatever it's going to be, then New York State has to react to it. I think, obviously, any actions that, whether it's President Trump or the Congress, U.S. Senate, House of Representatives, if they're coming up with policies that are detrimental to New York State, and even if it's the Republicans are coming up with those policies detrimental to New York State, I will absolutely speak out against it.
Yeah, yeah. But still, you know, Brian Kolb, and you're thinking about running for governor, you're going to get some very specific things. And, you know, some of this sounds like, humma. I mean, it doesn't sound like you really are committed to giving me an answer whether or not you think the president was wrong on health care, whether or not you think the president is wrong on, you know, the immigration issue and the DACA issue. You know, I expect something a little bit more forthright.
Well, I'm absolutely forthright, but what I'm also trying to explain to you, my personality is I do research on an issue. I make sure that whatever I'm going to comment on or criticize, I have the full facts about what really is happening or not happening. And so that's the way I've always been. I'm not going to just throw out political sound bites just to have a good sound bite. But if I sit down and my staff sits down, we look at a policy and say, we like this, we don't like this, we would like to modify it, just like we did when Governor Cuomo came out with this free tuition once we saw what he was really doing, then we came out with an alternative policy that we think was better. Not only did we think was better, but all those folks that were going to get New York State help thought it was a better policy. That's how I operate. So I don't talk in generalities. I will give you very specifics on any policy that once I have the specifics about what they're proposing, I'll give you a straight answer. I'm a straight talking guy.
Let's go down to Brian Kolb, Assembly Minority Leader. Let's go to New York City. Because after all, as you point out, you may not win New York City, but you've got to have developed some constituency, you know, maybe 5% more than other people have or 10% more than other people have. What are the issues they really care about down there?
Well, that's part of the conversations I'm having right now. But I think right off, it's pretty fair to say that one issue that's on the top of a lot of people's minds is the MTA and the subways, and are the trains running on time? And I think the petty feud going back and forth with de Blasio and Cuomo is ridiculous. You've got millions of lives that you're affecting on a daily basis, people's time, energy, cost, and this should be a priority with the two of them. Set your egos aside and sit down and figure out what's the long-term strategy, how are we going to finance it, what's our three-year, four-year, five-year plan, and what's going to be fixed first. That's what they should be doing, and neither one of them are doing it.
So let's go there. You know, de Blasio is saying to the governor, his political rival, they obviously don't like each other, no matter what they say. And he's saying to him, hey, tax the rich. Okay, that's position one. Cuomo is giving other approaches to how to do this and saying to the city, you know, you should really tax your people and put the money into fixing this thing. Who's right?
Well, I don't think either one of them are right on a straight point answer. Cuomo's idea about congestion pricing is that's really a tax for commuters. So de Blasio says, I want to tax the rich because it's really easy to do. And Cuomo's saying, well, I'm thinking we should just tax all the commuters in the MTA region. And I'm saying, well, I'm not so sure that's a great idea.
Well, you're a Republican. Your people live in those outlying counties. They're not going to like this idea, the so-called congestion pricing of coming into Manhattan and having to pay more and more. So, of course, you're going to be defending, you know, Rockland County and all these other guys, right?
Well, you're defending anyone that's using the trains. And certainly that's because those are commuters and those are everyday folks. But when a significant complex problem that you have with the MTA, there's not simple answers. You have to look at everything, not just what you need to raise or deal with on the revenue side, Alan. It's also, you got to evaluate all the costs, you know, working with whether it's Joe Liotta or the board is to sit down and say, really, we have to strategize. But the easy answer for, quite frankly, is the folks on the other political side of the aisle is let's just raise revenue. I haven't heard either one of them talk about how can we become more efficient? Are there other things we can do to lessen the cost of the capital plan? How are we bidding? There's all sorts of questions, and that's how you solve, or at least attempt to solve, a major complex problem. You don't do it with sound bites, and you just don't put it out there, well, I'm just going to raise revenues by taxing here or commuter tax there. And I think that's what's wrong in general with people, whether it's in New York State or Washington. There's never any discussion about how can we become more efficient? How can we reduce costs? And I'm not talking about slash and burn cuts. I'm just saying a comprehensive approach to involve all the outer attached counties that commute back and forth.
So give us an example or two.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, you say we got to have efficiencies.
Yeah.
You know, I'm scratching my head and saying, okay, what efficiencies?
Well, let's go back to what I said originally in an earlier conversation. You have to have all this information in front of you and piece by piece, page by page, to analyze, okay, what are our pension costs? What are our employee costs? What are other overheads that we have, specifics? And you got to have all that information in front of you with not just me, with a group of people, all the stakeholders, to figure it out. So that's what I'm saying. People expect 30-second sound bites, and I don't operate that way. I'm a business background. If we have a problem, we sit down with all the, as I mentioned earlier, stakeholders, departments, and you really do a comprehensive review approach, and then you come out with a plan that you're going to present to the taxpayers and the stakeholders of the state.
Okay, two-part question on ethics. Part one, You come from an institution which is not popular with the people, which is the which is the legislature. They consider it to be, for want of a better word, a den of thieves, which is maybe unfortunate and unfair. That's the first part. So do you get tagged with having been part of that institution? And two, if you were king, what kind of ethics reforms would you make in the legislature? Now, you've been there for a while. Don't tell me you got to sit down around and think about, you know, what the proposals are. Just tell me what you would do.
Well, you and I are going to disagree on this, but I'm going to give you a question I ask everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I just recently I've had three business forums in Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse as a starting point. We're doing some more. And the first question I ask everybody in the room is, show of hands. Please raise your hand if you think New York State government is working for you. Not a hand goes up. Years ago, when I was traveling around the state with Bill Samuels and Dr. Jerry Benjamin, we were holding forums about the ConCon. That was the question. Is New York State government working for you? Do you realize, literally, a couple thousand people, not one hand, well, actually two hands went up.
Yeah.
That said it
Jerry
was.
Jerry Benjamin's and Samuels.
Exactly. And my point is, that's the premise. And that's what I'm talking about. Real people are saying, no, I don't feel, my perception is that New York State government doesn't care about me, doesn't want to look out for my family, doesn't want to look out for my business, and I do. And when I've been a representative of my district for the last 18 years, my only priority as an assemblyman is to represent the interests of my district. Once I became leader, that didn't change, but I also had to make sure that we were trying to represent all of the members of our conference that go from Buffalo to New York City, including New York City and the island. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that, because what we've allowed our members get to vote on yes or no based on their districts. And as governor, you have to be conscious of the fact that, you know, a policy in, that may be great for New York City may not necessarily resonate in upstate. And that's why sometimes you do have to have a regional approach, but it targeted based on what is needed in that particular region. And I think that's a comprehensive thought process that I go through. I mean, talk about public policy. I got a binder, Alan, that's yay thick. It's a foot thick.
You're showing a big, it's the radio. I just wanted to point out you're showing about a foot between your two hands.
Binder of public policy ideas and solutions. And one of the things we've always focused on, I've always focused on, is I don't care, honestly, if Andrew Cuomo is a Democrat or not. What I care about is what he's doing as governor and his administration. Is it doing its best job possible for this state? And they're not. And all you have to do is talk to people, the real people on the street, not the pocketed donors, not the big developers. It's the rank and file men and women and their families that are looking for somebody to look out for them, that cares about them first, putting people first, not politics. I'm not running for president of the United States. In fact, I think if Cuomo really is going to run for reelection, and I'm not convinced of that yet, but if he is, he should make an absolute promise before he becomes a candidate that he will not run for president of the United States.
Well, he is going to run for another term, and he also will run for president of the United States. And I guarantee, because I know the guy and I know what his MO is, and he will not follow your advice.
And folks like you should hold him accountable, because you cannot be governor of the Empire State while running for president of the United States.
Okay.
In fact, I know that he even said that back when his father was considering running for governor. He said, Dad, you can't run for both. And that's why Mario Cuomo decided not to get on that plane. And so I think he should follow the only advice, his own advice he gave to his dad, which is you can't do both. This state is too complex, too powerful, too big to manage, and while try to simultaneously travel around the country to raise money, to go to Iowa and all those other places you have to go to as a president. You want to run for president? Great. You just can't be governor of New York.
Let's assume you're going to run for governor for a second here, and I certainly hope you do, because it'll be interesting. The governor has had a lot of problems with some of the people who reported directly to him, and some of them are on trial, not for their lives, but for many years in prison, potentially. Joe Prococo, Todd Howe, some of these other guys. How important would that be in your campaign?
Well, I think it's going to be very important, because these are the people that were closest to the governor. I mean, Joe Prococo, who I know, I've met, and actually I like. Having said that, he was the governor's closest confidant. And for the governor to say, well, I didn't know anything he was doing or his family was doing is bizarre. And I know better. And I think,
how do you hold the guys around you accountable? Because you can't tell whether somebody's selling your political office without your knowing it.
Oh, well, I actually, they may try, but they also know they better not, because they would be immediately fired.
If you knew.
but the first sign if I did know. But also, guess what? I've run companies. I've been part of multi-billion-dollar organizations, small companies. Trust me, you know.
Stop right there. You think he knew? You think he knew that those guys were selling his office?
Yes.
Wow. That's astounding. And he, of course, denies that.
Of course he would.
Now, do you think either of them might turn on him during the trials?
I have no idea.
We do know that Todd Howe has been cooperating with the federal government. So these trials are going to be coming up either very close to the election or maybe a little after. It depends on how far they get. But that's going to be the trial of the century around New York state government, isn't it?
Absolutely. And certainly, I think when these actions take place in the courtroom, and if you recall, look at Chris Christie.
Sure.
He was never indicted, but certainly there was a lot of perception that he was. And especially when, you know, these folks were close to the governor. And then you look around at the other indictments on the Buffalo Billion. We talked about this. We're going to send $495 million to Solar City in Buffalo. And we raised, where's the money coming from, what it's going to be used for? And you can't get answers. We're in the process of finishing a $4.5 billion Tappan Zee Bridge that we don't have. How are we paying for it yet? Let me ask you this. Anybody out there listening that you're going to go spend $100,000, $400,000 on a house, on a car, whatever, and you're not going to know how you're going to pay for it? It's bizarre. And so these are the types of questions you have to ask. You know, the procurement reform, our conference, we've introduced legislation to make procurement reform transparent.
To give back, how about giving back to the comptroller the authority he once had to look at all of these contracts before they were let?
That's exactly one of those reforms. And we've also added the attorney general to do that same thing. And that's where the oversight has to come from. You know, we had to push like hell to find out exactly how much money was spent on Startup New York. You know, there's a recent story where a donor that's in his related circle gave Andrew Cuomo $400,000 in campaign donations and got an 80% increase from the taxpayers in New York to help his business. There's not even a close second place firm in this state that has achieved that kind of a price increase through state government. These are the sort of things that when you talk again to the people on the street, it's always about, see, you got to be connected to get special treatment. Wouldn't I love to be able to increase my prices in my business with the help of state government? You know, when you talk to businesses where state government is investing taxpayer dollars.
So are you calling Cuomo corrupt?
I'm not going to call him corrupt because I have no evidence of corruption. Do I think that there's a lot of questions and answers he must provide? Yes.
Well, we are out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assembly Minority Leader, a frequent guest on this program, Brian Kolb. Brian, thanks so much for joining us. It's always important to have your voice with us.
Enjoy it very much, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.